Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a star. Black African diva bizarre. Us women were shining like stars. Start from the bottom and rise to the top. You're wonderful, loving, and strong. Nothing is stronger than a woman.
Good morning, and welcome to Voices of Anakazi. Good morning, Sammy.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Enjoying this cool breeze and bright sunshine. How about you?
Well, it's raining out here. New Jersey is just so unpredictable. You wake up, the sun is shining. The next minute, it's raining. We just never know where the wind blows. Yeah, but it's fine otherwise. My weekend has been a little busy, but we're almost over. To Sunday. Looking forward to church tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, Matty.
Hey, good morning, Yareka. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I think
you.
It's afternoon right now, huh? Good afternoon.
It's afternoon, right. Exactly. Over here it's noon. Yeah, so, you know, we're very excited about the conversations that we're having so far. But we're also excited that CMA will be leading most of our discussions. We're trying to make sure that the young ones are, you know, taking over some of these discussions and leading,
right,
and you know, helping other young women that are coming behind them. So I'm just going to hand it over to CMA. She'll give us a recap on last week's conversation, and then we'll just continue on from there. CMA, please go ahead.
Yeah, so last week we had an amazing discussion on the challenges facing women in terms of education. And one theme that came across all answers was that support plays such an important part for us as women when we're going through the steps in order to receive a higher education. And it all ties into, as a woman, when you're advancing yourself and working towards being your best self, there are going to be certain complications that come along the way, but that's not to deter you from your goals, because as long as you know your values, you set up a support network, such as Anakazi, which is a group of dynamic women influencing and reaching out to each other in order to help each other. It is all possible. It's all possible. And so now this conversation is kind of the next step of that, and we're going to be talking about climbing the corporate ladder. And so just to give some background on what that means, climbing the corporate ladder, it's referencing to the series of steps used in order to move up in position and power within a corporation. And the discussion we're going to have today is about all the challenges that kind of tie into that and face women in that field. I've got some interesting statistics about corporate America. The Fortune 500 companies here in America, so out of all 500 of the top companies here in the States, or I should say top corporations, only 24 of those 500 are women. And then past those 24, only one of those women is Black. And now this is only referencing to the top 500. So when you go looking at all corporations, you do find more Black female CEOs, but ultimately the point still stands that you don't find a lot. And so I want to open up the conversation today with, why is it so important for Black women to climb the corporate ladder and to be those CEOs?
I'll let Matthew go first.
I recently had a similar conversation here on Zambia Block Talk Radio. That was the day after, I think it was the day of or the day after International Women's Day. I spoke to an African-American on the radio, and we addressed some of the issues, and the statistics you just gave are consistent with some of the statistics I found. And I would try to tap into my recall and try to give the same response my guest had given. It's challenging, first of all, as a race, for a Black race, just to advance anywhere. And then secondly, it's challenging as a woman, white or Black, to advance anywhere. So when you have a double negative, it shouldn't be, but that's the way it's society has dealt it or is treating it, like a double negative. You're Black and then you're a woman and you're trying to advance. You find that the challenges are actually more than other people, other races or other genders by themselves. So it's actually very important as an African American or as a Black woman to advance or to climb the corporate ladder. We want to, we have value. We have a lot that we can give or contribute to that corporation or to the community or to society. But to be sidelined, to be blocked with each advancing step is very infuriating, or to be disregarded as inferior or not intelligent enough or not having the right enough qualifications builds up that drive to say, I can do this and I can do even more than what I initially started off. So that's the fire. We would like to be recognized, I think. We would just like it to be fair.
Yes, I agree with Matilda. I just want to add on to that. I went to a school where we were told boys, girls, there was no difference. So if you had to get into that school, there was no difference with the number of points that you needed to get in. So Most schools have, they have two cutoff points to get into high school, but that particular school that I went to, there was no, difference. So I grew up knowing that as a girl or as a woman, we are, we're the same as far as achievement. And if anyone told me at that time that in corporate I'd be, treated differently or I'd have to work extra hard than, than the boy in my class, I wouldn't have known how to relate to that because I didn't grow up around that. But now coming into the corporate world, I understand what, what the discussion is all about, and because I've seen it, I've experienced it. But your question was, why is it important to have more Black women in leadership? I think we need more role models. We need more women up there to be able to give an example to those who are coming behind. And then secondly, women, we do things differently. We lead differently. And most of the times I've heard questions like, should we lead the same way as men? I don't think we have to lead like men. We nurture more. We mentor more. We care about what's going on around us, and we care about our communities because our ultimate goal is to help the family, to feed the family, to build a community. That's how we think. So if we don't have that kind of thinking in leadership, and really that's what we want as women, then policies are going to be lacking. Policies are not going to include things that really affect women the most. How to raising kids. We have our unique challenges as parents, right? As women, that most men may not be privy to because they're busy out there. But women are usually at home with the family, so we get to know what matters to us the most. So work-life balance. So if you're a leader, you're in corporate, and some woman has to rush off and take care of her kid. As a guy, you probably won't care, but as a mom who's going through a similar situation and you're in leadership, you'll be more sympathetic to the situation. So it's very important that we have not just Black women in leadership, but just women in leadership, because the policies are going to change. So it's all trickled down. I was watching Oprah the other day, and she was talking about how she's not intimidated to walk into boardrooms. And then she said that she had been doing this for some time, but then at some point she started questioning why she's always the only female and only Black female in those boardrooms. Okay. Like, where's everybody? Where is it going to change? So I feel like, yes, it's very important that we have more women in leadership, in boardrooms, making decisions, policies, politics, whatever level of leadership that we have out there.
Rebecca, can I just reiterate one of the points that you made before we move on to the next question? And that is more Black female role models. A lot of times, society, it can be Black, white, Hispanic, whatever. We aspire to do more because of the role model. We've seen that someone has paved the way. A lot of times you might have an idea, but you don't know the way to go because either no one has done it before or you don't know who has done it. And if you have more female role models, Black or white, and especially Black, it inspires our young girls, to know that there's more to life than whatever it is that they're exposed to. So I won't go too much into that. I know you're already you're ready for the next question.
Well, yes, I definitely agree with both responses, and even just to tie what both of you said together, the importance of a role model for the next generation. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, I've never seen it before, so I don't believe I can do it, or I don't believe it's possible. And that power of seeing other women, period, whether they be Black or other races, just women being in those leadership positions, I definitely agree, can influence a world of change. My next question, and Yarika touched on this a bit, so, and this just isn't solely in corporate America, this can be anywhere, But as women advancing in a career, a lot of times you find yourself the further up you go, or even sometimes at the beginning, to be in a male-dominated environment, in an environment where the man is being held up on a pedestal as the example of what is powerful, what is commanding, what can get the job done, what is determination. And there are these indirect pressures that come and surface in the work environment from that to make the woman feel she cannot achieve his status because she has other duties in life outside of work, such as being a wife or being a mother. And so my question on this is, how does a woman deal with a male-dominated business environment and be able to push past that in order to get to the advancement she knows she deserves?
Okay, I can go with that. I think we had another conversation. It was Mamas versus Papas, but we were also looking at whether women are supposed to change to suit a specific male-dominated environment, right? And the conclusion was, no, women don't have to change to suit that environment. I think we just need to flourish as women, as we are. We are smart, and understanding that we are smart, we're capable of doing the work. So the issue is not the work being done, but just fitting into this environment. And that's, to me, is politics. I remember one time going to my professor and saying, you know, it was an issue for me at the time that I was working so hard, and I just felt like I wasn't getting the promotion that I needed at the time. And my professor told me that it's not about how hard you work all the time. Sometimes it's just how you network within your company, meaning, you know, if there's your colleagues, you know, they're going to lunch, you're going with them, you know, being friendly with your boss, or just letting them know what your goals are and all that stuff. Not really bootlicking or anything like that, but just networking more so that they know you, that they know that you're out there. But the issue again came in, how do we network as women? How do you know, because most men will be talking about football, and you know, they get excited. So every time a leader who's male, he's sitting in the boardroom and he's trying to decide who they're going to promote, they're going to think about those people they hang around with, right? So women, it's different, but we just have to learn to balance the two. But we don't have to be like the men. We don't have to be cutthroat. We just need to be as authentic as we can be. And by that, we just need to be a little bit more assertive. We have to make sure that we do our part, which is just working hard, very basic. But again, it's just balancing. That's what I think. But not to change for the men, no. I think changing is what's going to kill us.
Absolutely. And just to add on to Eureka's point, I also agree that we do not have to change it to work like men, because men and women are created differently. And as Eureka pointed out, even the way we think or approach things or analyze things can be a little different. In terms of networking, I'll give an example. This is something that I experienced when I had gone to Zambia and I worked with my mother's organization, NOSPA. They are a national organization that promotes women in sports, physical activity, and recreation. One of the things that they do is empower women through sports, you know. And they would go into these townships, whether it's in Lusaka or outside Lusaka or in other provinces. They'd go to these townships and they would set up a netball game, you know. Most of the times people know how to play netball. So they'll set it up. They'll play the game, and when the game is over, you know, they'll just have them come around and speak first to the men to let them know, you know, the women that in your family, your wives, daughters, sisters, cousins, mothers, everyone, have something important that they can share with the family. You don't have to make them just stay home and mm-hmm. disregard what they do. But there's also networking in coming together. You've come together there for a sport. You also network as you are selling your tomatoes and your onions or whatever it is that you're selling to sustain your family. There are networking groups there that we don't even see that is happening, but and we haven't made a fine art of it or haven't emphasized it, you know. So a lot of times it's disregarded, just like a woman, a stay-at-home mom, you know. Mm-hmm. I think I saw this on Facebook with a U.S. Ethiopian embassy. They had a two-minute video where this woman was
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah. Yes, that was powerful. And he says, well, my wife doesn't work. Like, oh, my gosh. So society has trained us. Right. Society has trained us to say, you're not doing anything. So it's the same with networking. We have the networking skills. We're capable of doing that. Even gossip is a network. Oh, my gosh. It is, you know. There's certain information that comes your way, and immediately you're like, ha, I know who I can tell. I know who will benefit from this mm-hmm. piece of juicy information.
Gossip is contagious.
Oh, yes, it is. But if you are good at that gossip, try to spread the word the same way, the positive word, that is. You know, the business mm-hmm. thing, and say, hey, this person has, there's a wholesale price on this, or they're building material for such and such. Network that will just spread it, just turn it into positive. So we have the skills, only that they just have to be highlighted, and we know how to use them.
Absolutely. I think we have one more person who joined us a little bit late. Chipo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Is this you're talking
to people? Yes, I'm talking to you, people. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah, you see why I add people too.
That's true.
Yeah. So, did maybe you wanted to chime in here? You have a comment?
I was just enjoying the conversations, but I just wanted to touch on the point of why, as women, we need to, it's important for us to be part of the workforce and to make decisions and all that. Because stemming from the point that we are nurturers, as women, we raise, we nurture the people around us. So as we take leadership roles, men are known mostly to be, you know, like very adamant, masculine, and it doesn't come with that nurturing effect. So when we get involved as women, we also bring that into the office environment and into the leadership roles. And once you empower a woman, you're basically empowering the whole community, because we do that with so much love and it affects everybody else around us. So I think, it's very important for us to take part in all these issues and take control of some of the leadership roles that are out there, and not to feel inferior in any way.
So,
sorry. It was coming through broken up. Were you going to say something, Yorika?
No, I just wanted to bring it for the conversation.
Okay. Tito, welcome. So glad to hear from you. And just with all the responses that were given, I want to expand on the topic of networking. Networking was something that I know I never really took too much thought on. I think I was kind of intimidated on the topic because I had this very, very stereotypical image of what networking was, and men in business suits passing each other cards, and because I wasn't a man and I couldn't have those like football conversations and what have you, that, you know, networking wasn't within my reach. And amazingly, through the relationship of Yark and coming into the Anacazi Network, I've been inspired and introduced to the fact that we all have the power to network, and that it's not something that this thing that's so much bigger than yourself, but can happen in simple conversations. And it's about how you take the opportunity in order to have a conversation with one person and expand it into more opportunities further down the road. So I'd like to ask the group, what are ways that you like to network? Kind of like, what are examples of ways you like to network?
I can talk about that. I'm a serial networker. I network everywhere. And my strategy is, if you're standing next to me for at least 3 minutes, we're going to have a conversation. And if you don't talk to me, I will talk. And that's just how it is. I think it's so. You just don't know who. You never know. Then run the first person through every person, right? And there's 20, 50 people in the room. Of make sure that you have the target, what we're looking for to meet people. But generally speaking, for me, I think what I do with an advisor, I need as much resources as possible. I need as much information as possible. So I'm at the airport. I meet a guy. He's telling me, he's talking to someone else. You know, I just overhear this conversation that we're in Addis Ababa, and the guy is talking about having been to Zambia and that he's going back now and he lives in California. I was like, hey, you're going to Zambia? I'm from Zambia. You know, that's how the conversations, some of the conversations start. The next minute he's talking, he's telling me what he's going to do in Zambia, and I tell him, oh, I work with this network, and in the network these are some of the things we do. And the guy says, oh, I'm going to implement some programs in agriculture. Oh, we have women in agriculture. So there's always all these conversations that are connected. You just have to find those conversations, meet people, and somehow they'll tie into what you're looking for. I'm very aggressive. I talk to anybody, everybody, as long as they're standing next to me for 3 minutes. So then the other way that I network is just through referrals, friends, events. Someone might say, you know what, I know someone who you can meet. And I always follow up on that. Because sometimes we'll be, oh, okay, what, you know, maybe not, maybe just find out, talk to the person, find out what they're all about, and then take it from there. And then there's one other time I used to work with this lady who more or less used to mentor me. She was like a mom. But we worked together. And one time she would always invite me to events, and every time she invites me, I'll just be dragging my feet. I was much younger, I was busy, I'm running around, so why would I go to a meeting, for a community meeting? That kind of thinking at the time, just like Zeme was saying earlier, that, you know, not knowing. So she would call me, she would say, just come for this meeting. And one time I decided to go and to the meeting with her, and I was sitting next to this woman, and we were just talking, and, you know, people were doing presentations and all that. And then she got up to do a presentation, and that time I was in college. And so she goes up there and she starts talking about this scholarship fund at UCLA that is not utilized. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's exactly the same scholarship I've been trying to get, right? So she comes and sits next to me, and she says, oh, I said, oh, so tell me about the scholarship. I've been trying to get this scholarship. And immediately she tells me, oh, where are you from? I said, I'm from Zambia. She says, oh, my daughter is from Zambia, you know, just because we had that conversation. So immediately she says, here's how you do this. This is how you apply for the scholarship. And that's how I got my scholarship for about a year to go to UCLA. And again, I mean, getting into UCLA is not easy, right? But this woman, they had scholarships. Yeah, they had scholarships there. And that's how I applied. She, I had to get a sponsorship from National Black Association of, National Association of Black Accountants. They gave me a letter. I ran back to UCLA. And all that is because me and this woman, because first of all, I dragged my feet to go to the event, and I sat next to this woman, and I spoke to her. So everything is all connected to conversations that we have with people, but also being in the right place, networking, and going to events. So that's my contribution there.
Wow. Wow. I'll pick it up from there. And sorry, Eric, I missed most of what you were saying. I think I was having problems with my phone, but I finally caught up. I think the question was, what's your favorite way of networking? Am I correct?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know if I have a favorite, but I guess my response would be how I started networking. I think it's, one of those things where you're being trained, but you don't know that you're being trained. Visiting with my grandmother, I learned how to communicate early with people of different age groups, backgrounds, and so on and so forth. And sometimes you would have to visit with someone who's not your age. You know, they've come to see maybe my grandmother and she's not there. What are you going to talk about? You know, you are under 9, you're under 10, and here's this person. So sometimes, depending on the person, they would not have so much to say, but they have to wait until my grandmother gets there. So I, from an early age, I started to learn how to ask questions or keep a conversation going or just, you know, show interest. And over time, as I grew up, I found that I'm a very social person. So similar to Yareka, someone sits next to me, we're going to strike up a conversation. But more recently, I was telling a friend, I said, there must be a stamp on my face that says, talk to me. Because
there is.
I can go to the restroom in a public area and everyone in the restroom will talk to me first. You know,
you probably have a big smile on your face.
I think I am, but I don't think I will go in the restroom and just go in there smiling. You know, so it's amazing. I remember right in the restroom, we were coming from a movie, and there were a bunch of old ladies, and they all spoke with me, and I had something to say for each one of them. Someone even started crying, gave me a hug. I'm like,
wow.
I'm stopped going to public restrooms. So it's just amazing. So I think I'm approachable, and networking, the mistake a lot of people make is, it's what can I get out of that person? What they don't understand is the important or the secret thing about networking is developing a relationship. Don't just say I'm
Absolutely.
Going to talk to your record because she's Voices of Anakazi found and so on. I shouldn't look at Yareka with that stamp. I should look at Yareka as, here's another person, an individual. I might grow from her, she might grow from me. Let's develop a relationship. I shouldn't be looking at it like, what can I get out of it? Even though there are times when, that, of course, that's helpful. But when you develop a relationship, it's easier. You have a smoother approach in asking for something or getting support in the future rather than, oh, you only talk to me when you need something, you know? That's,
absolutely.
I just wanted to share that.
I agree with you on that. But the other thing there's two sides of things. One is when you're building long-term relationships and you start to work, get those relationships. What the person's interests are, and just have a friendship. It's not all. Sometimes you're the one who's going to give back. But the other thing is, there are times when you are just looking for something and you don't have the time to build the relationship. What do you do? Especially the young ones looking for a job, right? And that's when these elevator speeches come in, right? You have to be prepared to sell yourself
to promote yourself, package yourself. So all this is done ahead of time. So this is what we always teach within the Anakazi Network, especially to the young ones. What, you know, we start off with making sure that the young women know what their mission state, personal mission statement is. What does it look like? Who do they think they are? They have to know who they are. They have to connect to that purpose, right, their gifts. So we start off by encouraging them to do that. In doing so, when they speak to people, they, even though they, you know, they could be selling themselves or trying to promote themselves, they'll just be communicating who they really are. And sometimes it'll come out like, oh, so you do this. Oh, I can help you with this. Or I can refer you to somebody. So with the young people, we have to balance the two. They have to learn to promote themselves, put themselves out there, and let other people know, mentors, sponsors, or whoever can refer them to maybe a job or internship. They have to be able to communicate exactly what they're looking for. So, yeah, basically that's... For me, we have to look at both ends.
Wow. Chipa, did you want to include on this topic?
She's on mute, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, but
sorry. Which Chipa? I get confused. Oh, is Chipa one not here?
No, she's not here today.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I was so I wait until she responds, and then I will respond. When you say Chipa, I'm just thinking it's her. Okay.
Yes, yeah. So we have Chipa one and Chipa two. So Chipa one is not here today. So Chipa two is there. Sorry, I didn't clarify that earlier.
Okay. Well, yeah, yeah. Network is very important. I think the way I do it is I sign up for so many groups, and like what Erica was saying, talk to everyone. It doesn't matter who it is. Maybe it could even be a little child. But I've seen little kids pitching their businesses and networking with other people. I'm like, how did they get to know that? So I think it's very important that no matter who you meet, no matter where you are, grocery store or whatever, I sign up for like meetup groups and there's another organization called Operation Hope. I don't know if anybody's heard about it. I just finished a program with them. So I'm constantly trying to do stuff that will help my business and help me get out there and get to know other people. And at the same time, they're getting to know about my business. And I know I was bugging Chipo One and Yareka this past week because I had a presentation to do, and this was in front of lawyers and bankers and all that stuff. So they get to know what I do, and that's part of networking as well. And then I always leave it to, is it okay if I contact you with some questions or whatever? So that way I'm building a relationship. It's not just about talking to them one time and just leaving it there. But I constantly want to email them and, hey, did you know anything about this or how can I go about this? You're building, establishing that relationship, and that's what matters. So that whenever you need something, you can always, you now have a warm place to reattach yourself to them and say, hey, I remember you spoke about this. Can we, you know, I have this issue. Can you help me with that? And that's how the network, your network grows.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that's what I can.
I just wanted to add on to that as well. When I when I just started working on Anakazi programs, I reached out to someone, not because I wanted them to help me, but I just reached out to them because they were doing something and I wanted to help. And I wanted to help them promote whatever it is that we're doing. And that's how we met. And we started having conversations. I would invite her to come onto the radio show. And we were chatting and communicating for over 5 years until recently. We just met about 2-3 months ago. and she always said that, yeah, so she always, when she introduces me, she says, you know how we met? She reached out to me because she wanted to help me. And it always feels good to know, you know, that you can build relationships from helping others. as well. It's not always just when you know someone provides help to you. So I think, you know, what you ladies are saying, it's everything, you know, just adding everything up together is really important, that we look at every different situations. So some, yes, it's long-term relationship. Sometimes it's you giving the help. Sometimes it's you getting the help. Other times you're referring other people. You're not even involved in that relationship. So there's different roles that we can play in networking, absolutely.
Amazing answers. I definitely agree with all everything everybody said. Like I said before, networking was something that I tended to overlook and not even pay much attention to. But luckily through this network and even just discussions such as this, it's reiterated the importance and the magnitude that networking can have. So I want to go ahead and move forward with my next question, which is more about the challenges, because I am not married and I don't have kids. So really for me, balancing my work life, I do work in management. I kind of have more flexibility because ultimately my main responsibility is only myself right now. But one topic relating to climbing the corporate ladder, and we touched on it slightly earlier, is how do women advancing in their careers, how is it, what are the challenges they face with balancing work and life?
There's somebody with an area code 317, last four, 1694. Did you have a question or comment?
This is Kelvin. I just tuned in, so I probably might have to catch up to speed with what's being discussed.
Okay, so today's topic, last week we talked about education, the challenges and achievements for African women in the diaspora. So today we are focusing more on the transition from education to building a career. So we're discussing climbing the corporate ladder. So far we have talked about different issues that women face in the corporate arena and having more women in leadership roles and the need to have more, especially black women in leadership roles in the corporate world. And then we've also covered networking, whether women network differently or how they network, and just looking at different scenarios of networking, whether it's in events or individual, one-on-one, what the do's and the don'ts. So we've covered that as well. So I'm just going to let NCMA continue from there.
Yeah.
But we do want to hear a man's perspective, because here it's just been us women talking. So I'm going to let this CMA come back to you. We do have a 15 minutes, so I'll just let the CMA just ask the last question, and then we can have the men come in.
Okay.
The last question was, what are the challenges with balancing work and life?
Okay. Yeah, Rekha, do you want to take that, or can I jump in and take it?
Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Okay. I am married, but I do not have children, though I've had a lot of children in my home. It can be difficult. Women usually take up, consume other people's responsibilities, the husband, the children, the car, the this and that, the church, everything, you know. Usually we have a need to respond to something, or sometimes we are the person that they contact in case of an emergency or whatever. But then at the same time, we have work, which has its own challenges and responsibilities. So there are times when you may have to miss work or get a few hours off of work to attend to something, and it might be a conflict. One thing I've noticed, experience and also vicariously, is corporates would usually frown upon that, you know. So it makes it very challenging for a woman who has children and married to be able to balance that. You know, you have to take your kids to school, or your kids got sick at school, they're not well, or whatever reason, anything that comes up. For some reason, it affects, to balance that aspect of life plus work can be very, very difficult. There are some corporations that are beginning to work with women in, you know, in that regard. I know Sprint headquarters was in Kansas City. They had Sprint and Citibank. They both had a daycare for their children. So instead of saying, I need to rush off work so I can go pick up my kids from daycare, you can go to work with your children and leave them at the daycare that is provided by your company, you know. So this, it eliminates that need to say, if I don't get there on time, they're going to charge me, you know. Other places have started having pump centers for women who are lactating. They can take that break and lactate, you know, pump the milk for their babies and arrange for someone to come up and pick up the milk since they have to come back to work from maternity leave. So that work-life balance can be a challenge, but corporate is beginning to work more and more with women who are facing that. A number of times women may delay getting married or starting a family until they have reached their career goals. So I'll end there. Someone else pick up.
I wanted to add to that. When I was in grad school, we had all these discussions about work-life balance, and one of the issues that came up was that most female accountants only end up at management, like, if you're in, especially in the audit world, it was just like audit manager, and that's it. It's either they stop there, get married and do other stuff, or they'll go into the industry where there's more work-life balance. So when I heard that at the time, you know, I was thinking, nah, you know, it can't happen to me. You know, it's just one of those things. Like, why should I quit at that level? So that was my thinking. Then over time, I started seeing it happening, you know, in the corporate world, where one time my boss decided she was going to take a few years off. I said, what? How many years? She said, well, I just want to raise my kids first. You know, I wasn't married. I didn't have any kids. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't really resonating with me. But I started seeing it more and more. And until also myself recently, I took a sabbatical and I had to go take care of my brother in Zambia. And, you know, it was a big decision, but I had to do it. I you know, there was no other way. I just said, no, I can't continue working. I just have to quit, go home and take care of my brother. And that's what I did. So, and then you have to come back and rebuild your life. You have to start again. Those are things that us women experience because we, like we've discussed here already, we nurture people. We care about family, and sometimes our career goals will be on hold while we take care of our children. And but it's good, like Matilda said, there's more corporations now that are coming in with programs that can help women to balance the two. And you don't have to go out there and come back and start all over again. So, yeah, so for me, yes, those are some of the challenges as women, balancing the two, whether it's your children or it could be someone sick in your family, could be your husband, could be your parents. There's always something that triggers that that challenge. But I think
let me chime in here if you don't mind.
Sure. Sure. Go ahead.
Hi, Kelvin here. Yeah, so let me share a quick story about one of my bosses at work, and this is a 58-year-old white guy, and he and I were having a casual conversation at work, and he talked about he doesn't believe in equal pay for equal work because 90% of the time women would have to, if they're pregnant and have a baby, they would have to go away for a long period of time. So that right there negates, how much experience they would have gained. And that's his argument. And from that, I drew one conclusion. It's a male-dominated chauvinist world, which is very, very unfortunate because, first of all, that woman is not going away just for the sake of going away. She's going away for a very good cause, okay? She's having a baby. She needs as much time to rest, to take care of that child until at least 6 to 9 months, which is why I appreciate, most countries that have respect for women in that light and give them enough maternity leave, right? But based on other challenges that women face, I think this is an issue of men not wanting to accept that there's women out there that are intelligent, that are focused, that can drive a business, you know, to very successful levels. The solution to this is men should be major participants in bringing out or highlighting the importance that women bring. I don't believe in men know everything, men can only do this, men can only do that. If you look at decades ago, what was a woman's place? Supposedly in the kitchen. But all those things are phasing out because we're ushering in a new generation of people, a new generation of ideas, and we need to perpetuate these ideas going forward. I strongly believe that if a country like the U.S. can elect a female president this year, it's going to send a big, big message to the people in the world that a woman is as intelligent, capable as any man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your contribution. We need more Kelvins on the Anakazi show.
Yes.
We encourage you to come back every Saturday, Kelvin.
Sure. I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead and tell me.
Yeah, thank you so much for that response. Even just to add on to what you were saying at the end, that if the U.S. was to elect a female president, it sends such a strong message out there. I was even recently looking at this event that was thrown, I think it was out in L.A., called Black Girls Rock, and Hillary Clinton went and spoke, and she spoke to the fact that black women are the fastest growing entrepreneurs currently in this country. And I gained a new level of respect for her, the fact that she gave that validation, because women all together unified, we are strong. But even within the whole realm of women, we still have certain limitations that affect us racially. And so that was something that was just like fresh on my mind. But again, thank you.
But do you know where that comes from, Jimmy? Where that statement comes from is because Hillary is actively involved with African women entrepreneurs. Every year, so there's a program called AWEP, African Women Entrepreneurship Program. She founded that, and it focuses on building entrepreneurs from across Africa. So every year, there's one top female African entrepreneur that is brought to the United States through the State Department. And Anakazi has been hosting those women. So we've hosted them 3 years in a row in Los Angeles. And we're actually looking forward to hosting them again. Yes. So there's always like 40 to 50 women that they bring. And they break them up into groups, and they go across the U.S. to go and learn about, you know, building partnerships with other entrepreneurs here in the U.S., connecting with manufacturers, investors. So she's very, very actively involved in building African women entrepreneurs in Africa. And they've also introduced business hubs, incubators, and they call them WeCreate. There's one WeCreate incubator in Kenya, and there's another one that was recently opened in Zambia. So every so often, maybe every quarter, they have a huge build a business workshop. They just had one in Zambia where they had 300 entrepreneurs. So her program is very, very active. So when she speaks, she's really talking about all the billions of African women who are doing entrepreneurship work. That's where that is coming from, besides, of course, representing black women here in the U.S.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I know you have spoken to me before about Anakazi hosting the top African entrepreneur, but I did not know Hillary founded it, and you just completely gave me a whole new realm of information.
That's right. Yeah. We have five more minutes to go. I'm going to bring in Dr. Musanje. I don't know if he can hear, maybe get another perspective from him. Dr. Musanje, are you there? Probably.
He might be.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Well,
yeah, with the remaining 5 minutes, I just want to bring all the amazing conversation we've had kind of to a conclusion and just summarize some of the things we talked about. I know at the beginning we were speaking about the challenges with women being in a male-dominated environment, and the response across the board was, you know, we as women don't have to change in order to fit a mold that was designed for a male. And even Kelvin's comment, also addition to that, because we as women are capable. There is no reason for us to try to morph into something that we're not, just being ourselves. In addition to that, we also talked about the power of networking and how important that is. And some of the points brought around that were that we have conversations, talk to people. Don't just have a conversation in order to get something directly, but have a conversation in order to build a relationship with another person. And even Yarika's point about going to events and the way that her making time out of her busy schedule as a college student ended up getting her scholarship to go to UCLA. You never know what opportunity is waiting for you when you go to these events. And also being approachable was another thing. And I also want to touch on the point that Yarika mentioned earlier about packaging yourself. I know our overall conversation is about climbing the corporate ladder, and it's so important that as you go into these phases and take on the series of steps in order to elevate within a company, that you know who you are so that you can present that and display that to the ones who are granting you your promotions and so on and so forth. And I just want to say that as a wrap-up, does anybody want to add on?
Yeah, I just want to just a few points. So, yeah, so the topic today, as CMA said, was that women climbing up the corporate ladder. So some of just the points that stick out in my mind is communication. You have to communicate your vision to your superiors, whoever your boss is. They need to know what your goals are. I remember when I was working for this company, I made sure everybody knew I'm only the, at that time my focus was just going to school, and I just wanted to get my grad school out of the way, and that was the key. And I was working very hard, so everybody knew what I wanted to do at that time. And then secondly, you have to always sustain a professional attitude. So as women, you know, we have to act, dress, and present ourselves appropriately, professionally, because the more professional we are, the more respect that we gain from other people in the office. And then we always have to keep options open. You know, you have to always maintain relationships outside the company, which is, we've talked about networking. Make sure you get involved in social networks that can help build your career. They don't always have to be women-focused networks. You can go to just mixed events and just get to know other executives. If you're trying to get an executive position, get mentorship. So important. Always have mentors in your life and in your career life so they can guide you. So we have 60 seconds to go. I'll just let CMA close up for us.
So I want to go ahead and thank everybody for your contribution to the discussion today. It was an amazing discussion. Kelvin, thank you so much for participating. Like Yarika said, we need more of you, so definitely invite some friends and come back to join us following Saturdays. We do focus so heavily on women, but it's always refreshing and vital to hear from a male's perspective as well. And I think with that, it's been an amazing show. And again, thank you to everyone.
Thank you
so much,
everyone.
Thank you, Matilda.
Thank you, people.
Thank you, guys.
I'm a queen, I'm a star.